We're hearing a shmooze from Rosh Hashiva about 16 years ago, and I remember what it was because I had just gotten engaged, and I remember Rabbi Lubat happened to be there in yeshiva during the shmooze, and after. He like gave me a elbow, like make sure I got it. You'll see why. So there's the famous Chazal by Avram and Sarah, where the Malachim come to Avram, and they ask the Yisara Ishtecha. And Avram responded that she's in the tent. Rashi brings down the famous Chazal where they ask that what's pshat that the Malachim are asking this question. The Malachim knew where Sarah was. And the Chazal explains that they asked where Sarah is, kedei l'chava abayla, in order to endear her more to her husband. So the Rosh Yeshiva said a shmuz over here, said here we're dealing with Avram Avinu, who was the epitome of Avos Habrios, right? Even he loved these Odei Avodah Zarah walking down the street who we'd never met before, and was willing to shech three cows and give them the tongue from each cow, and he spent his whole life being a car of strangers. He was clearly an Oivis Abrios. You could imagine the relationship that he had with Sarah. And he was already, I think, somewhere around 99 years old. I don't know exactly how long he was married for, but I think it was a long time already. And you would imagine that his relationship with Sarah was quite a good relationship. And you would imagine that there wasn't much room for growth in the relationship. And even if there was room for growth, you would imagine there wasn't much need for growth. You know, the Malachim had very specific jobs. They came on with very few missions. It was to save Lot, destroy Sodom, and let Avram Sarah know that they would have a son, right? I think those were the three missions. And they figured, you know what, let us do one more thing. Besides that, let's try to do some, let's say something to improve the relationship between Avram and Sarah. So he pointed out a number of things over here. You see, in terms of the potential for relationships to grow, the amount that relationships could grow is really beyond our imagination. To think that there was even room for that relationship to grow more than it was is really something that we would not have imagined. The importance in Hashem's eyes for the relationship to grow is pretty impressive. Hashem wanted that relationship between Avram and Sarah to grow even further, and that's why the Malachim were asking this question. And there's also the idea of what needs to happen to improve that relationship. How was that relationship improved? All that happened was that Avram had to think about a quality that he knew that Sarah had. She was a tznua, mistama. He knew that already. And all he had to do to improve that relationship was to chazer a quality that his wife Sarah had. And the Malachim didn't even say it to him. The Malachim just made him think of it by asking, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he declared, "Hey, she's talking to me. I don't know where she is." And that increased the chavivus. So all he had to do was really to chazer a thought that he knew. And that would take the relationship that he had with his wife, which was probably already very, very significant, that would take it to an even advanced level. So you see how important it is to Hashem. You see the extent that there's room for growth in a relationship. And you also see how easy it is for us to reinforce the relationships that we have, really just by a simple chazara. It's really like Musar, you know, you gotta remind yourself when it comes to our avodas Hashem, we gotta remind ourselves what we know. And when it comes to relationships with other people, I assume it's pasha that Hashem is that the relationship with a wife is more important than the relationship with a friend. Stomach, that's pasha. But even the relationship with the wife, we would have thought that it's not okay. So Avram had it at 99.9999. Hashem wanted it to get it a drop more, but apparently yes. Apparently, the relationships, the Beinam al-Chaver relationships that we have with other people, are very, very important in Hashem's mind, and could be improved just by reviewing in our own minds what we know about other people, what we value about them, what we appreciate about them, and that could improve our relationship. That's very important. Okay, how do we... That would work for us to appreciate somebody else more. If we want to value somebody else more, if we want to appreciate somebody else more, so then we would need to remind ourselves of their qualities, of what we appreciate, and that will help us value them more and help us improve our relationship with them. What about if we want to come from the other side, which would also improve the relationship? How about if we want to improve the way they feel about us? How do we do that?
Tell them this chazal.
What?
Tell them
the chazal so that they'll think about our qualities. Okay. Have you been thinking about my quality since I said it? Well, I don't know.
You should just show off.
You can show off. All right. I'm not sure how much that will help the relationship, but I hear.
That's good. They get the chazer.
We'll help them chazer.
By doing this mamela, if you come closer to someone else, they'll probably mamela come closer to you.
Yeah, there could be, right, if you value somebody else more, it could be, it would naturally reflect. I assume that's true. Yeah. So I remember another shruz I heard from Rosh Yeshiva with Rivka and Yitzchak. Yitzchak is going on the mission of his life, trying to get the brachos, sorry, Yaakov was going on the mission of his life, tried to get the brachos from Yitzchak. And Rivka is helping him out, getting him dressed in Esav's clothes, making him look like Esav, helping him prepare the food, doing whatever she can to help Yaakov get ready for this mission. And I'm pretty sure it's the Medrash. The Medrash says that Rivka walked Yaakov to the door, and she tells Yaakov, "I did everything I can up until now." I don't know if this is a word-for-word translation. I know it's not a word-for-word translation, but it's pretty much something along these lines. If you're looking for the Chazal, it's in the Chiddush Aleph. And she says to him, you know, "I did everything I can. I got the food ready. I got you dressed. I can't come with you. I can't actually come with you in the room. I would love to come with you. I love you very much. I can't go any further. I have to stop over here." So the Rosh Yeshiva asks, like, what's she giving him the speech for? What's she telling him? And he was masber that she understood that he's going on this mission. He needs some chizuk. His life is at risk. And she conveyed to him, "I love you. And I would go further. But I can't." So, of course, Yaakov knew that Rivka loved her. But conveying those emotions, conveying those feelings, gave him an extra dose of chizuk that Rivka felt he could use, even though he was on this mission that the future of Klal Yisrael was riding on. He was ready to be, he was being Moshe Nefesh to get these brachos, and he was pretty motivated to get this right. If Yitzhak would discover things and he would, if Yaakov would mess up, he'd be in big trouble. But Rivka understood that he could use a little extra dose of chizuk, and that extra dose of chizuk was just by communicating the emotions, communicating the love. Let's try a little experiment here. This is what I brought the papers and pens for. I wasn't suggesting that you take notes. That's not why I brought them. And there's more paper if you want. This is going to be a little awkward, but we'll do it anyways. I think it's worth it. It'll be fun. Don't worry. Okay, let's just split up here into pairs. You can stay in your seat. Just pair up with somebody next to you.
Zero.
What? No. I think. Do we have an even number of people here? Does this work? Are we good? I think we have an odd number. What? We have an odd number here. You could do a triple. You could do a triple. If, okay. No, I'm going to watch.
If you convey your emotions, then
they have a much greater effect. You feel much more. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to write down just any compliment.
What are you?
Just begin the compliment like this. Dear Shmuel Chaim, I think, and write a compliment to your partner. Just write a compliment to your partner. Dear partner's name, I think, and write a compliment to your partner. It's got to be a serious compliment.
Oh, serious. Shoot.
Cheek.
Okay, let's switch papers. Give your paper to the to your partner. Yes.
Yo, are you done?
Yes. Read what your partner wrote. One second. Don't say anything. Just read. No. Read to yourself what your partner wrote. Okay. Read to yourself what.
Partner, why'd you sign? Oh, great.
Okay.
He said one, man, not like six.
You too.
Okay. Now, this might be a little awkward also. Okay, everybody say, shh, 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 shh. Guys.
No, why? Shh.
Okay, everybody say, if you could, on the paper where your compliment was written, first think for a moment if you could put into words how you felt when you read that compliment, and just write down how you felt when you read it.
I had multiple emotions, but that was...
Yeah, write down how you felt. If it's multiple emotions, you know, just write it down. Write down how you felt.
Right, Fine. Illegal. Jacob, you said it.
What?
Okay.
It might make people feel uncomfortable if I read the compliments. I'm not going to read the compliments out loud. But I want to read the responses to the compliments. If anyone doesn't want me to read
responses to the compliments?
Yeah, I just want to read out loud how people felt when they read what their partner wrote.
I thought it was what you felt when you were writing the compliment. That's how I was confused. I just wrote it. Now I know which one's yours. That's why it was weird when I was writing it on this person's paper. Well, you never know how I feel.
Okay, this person wrote what he was thinking, not really how he felt, but he wrote, very nice, very true, indeed.
There we go.
Okay. This person wrote, I felt that it was an honest compliment.
Feeling.
That's not a feeling.
Where's the feeling?
And let's try this. And it made me feel good that I am noticed in a positive light. Okay. I was happy. Disagreed with the Lashon was saying. I just asked you how you felt. I was not sure if I agree about the frock. Okay, whatever. But okay, let's just focus on the I was happy, because that was the answer to my question. Okay, this person wrote, this compliment made my day. Makes me feel like all that hard work wasn't for no reason. Not because you noticed it happening, but because I was an inspiration. Very nice. I feel good. A bit too much, though. Okay. Happy and motivated. Surprised because I must be an amazing actor, but I try. But mostly touched by the first two. Pretty great.
Some red flags have just come
out. I can't read. Heard you feeling that it would be about the subject we learned together. Okay, I'm not sure, whatever. It made me feel good. I was nervous about it coming out fake.
That's mine.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Wow, you found the compliment I actually appreciate. Noticed and accepted. I guess he felt noticed and accepted. Like I count, also doubtful. Like that's really true. Not sure what kind of okay. I felt valued and appreciated. Aw, that's so nice.
What?
Amusement, disbelief. But oh well, that's Matan. Good. It feels great to be commended by someone of whom I respect and whose haskama is valuable. and not cheap like most of the Olam.
Whoa! Holy cow!
I mean, can you tell us who it's to?
Whoa!
Appreciated and noticed. I felt appreciated that when I do things, people do appreciate it, and it's not all for naught, and that I'm really benefiting the Olam when I try to do these things. Happy, touched, appreciated, goodness. Excited, sense of purpose. I could do it. I did that one already. I feel valued. Let's read some of the compliments. Should I say the names?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Anyone doesn't want the name said, raise your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just think for a second how, you know, the feeling in this room right now. I don't think that there were any major fiducium in the compliments that were given here. I think most of them were pretty accurate. When you read your compliment, you guys felt pretty good about themselves. But I think the metzius is that we're a bunch of wimps, and we don't talk to people like this. No one in here had to like rack their brains and let me think about what I could possibly think of this guy. I don't think so, at least. And you guys knew each other for a very, very, very long time. But whoever actually stopped for a minute and said something like this to their friend, maybe on occasion it happens with a unique personality. But in general, that's not how certainly guys are. But Lamaisum, I think that we have the ability to really make people's day, make people feel valued and motivated and happy and make their day and so on and so forth by saying something very simple to them that, you know, we don't have to rack our brains. What could I possibly say to the guy? I really, you know, Seder's over. I really enjoyed learning with you today. You know, thanks a lot for that Seder. Wow, you're so motivated. It's rubbing off on me. You know, it could be even more basic. It could be, oh, you know, nice shoes. I see you got a pair of new shoes. Nice shoes. Looking for opportunities to boost people up in very simple ways. It might be a little bit awkward, but let's face it, even though I forced you, unless you guess you could have refused to participate, I forced you to say that compliment to your friend, but it still made your friend feel good, I guess, because they didn't think that you were lying, and, you know, they probably weren't lying because it sounds like the things that were said were pretty accurate. So even in a situation like this where you only complimented because I told you to, it still made the guy feel good. If it's coming from a sincere, I want to make you feel good, like Rivka was doing to Yaakov, that would probably be even more impressionable, have a bigger effect, and you could really change a person's whole attitude. I assume that guy who wrote, "You made my day," really felt that way. You make somebody's day, he's a whole different person. He's going to have a different Seder. He's going to have a different level of ability to deal with whatever Nisayon comes that day. When you're in a frustrated mood, it's much harder to deal with your Nisayonos than when you're in an upbeat mood. And you just made the guy's day. And now he could deal with his Yetzirah. Now he could have a good Seder. Now, you know, he won't be nasty to somebody else because you made his day. You gave him a little chizuk. You worked on your relationship with him. and you really changed how he feels. Chazal say, I don't remember offhand where it is. Tov halbein shinayim and mechalov, and that just smiling at another person is halbein shinayim, showing the white of your teeth, is better than giving him a cup of milk. And the altar of Slavatka describes that cup of milk. You have a guy who's dehydrated and his throat is parched, and he's been traveling in the desert, and you give him a ice cold cup of milk. A smile is more valuable. If we had time, we would do that experiment also. But you could experiment yourself. Just smile at a person; he's gonna smile back. It even works with a baby. And that's people just reflect. Someone's saying, "Mind upon him upon him." People reflect your mood. You could experiment to just walk by in the halls, smile at somebody. They're gonna smile back. They may be wondering what was the joke I just missed, but they'll smile back. And you really can't be. One of my kids at the Shabbos table said this over from Mrs. Glad. You can't be angry when you're smiling. I don't know if that's her own fiber, but you can't. And somebody's going to, you smile, somebody else smiles back, you put them in a good mood. They can't be angry if they're smiling back. And you just, all you did was smile at him. And that makes a tremendous, tremendous effect. You know, we think of, if I ask you, tell me what holiness is, tell me what Kedusha is, what would come to mind? If I'd say, this guy is a Kaddosh, what does he do that makes him a Kaddosh? What? Mikvah. Okay. Right. You look, if you look, I'm pretty sure it's the Sfarno on Kedoshim to you. He says that the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you is Ladamas Lashem, which means Emidos, Mahu Avata.
Your other bad is Rashi.
What?
Rashi's your other bad.
Oh, right. Prishma Arias. That also makes you happy. But the idea is that it's not Stam, a little nice thing to work on relationships, to put people in a good mood, to improve your relationships with other people, to make other people like you better. It's Kedusha. The Sfarno says that's the halachta b'dracha of mahu afata. That midah of caring about other people, about putting other people in a good mood, is tremendous in Hashem's eyes. It could spell the difference in the success of a mission like Yaakov Avinu's mission of ensuring the future of Klal Yisrael. And it's very, very easy to do, as we just demonstrated here tonight. Have a wonderful night.